From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Sharon Ford, Dr. Sharon Ford is our guest today from Focus on the Family. Dr. Ford, thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us on ABQ Connect.
Thank you, Steve, for having me today.
Now, we've spoken with you before on another topic, but you're multifaceted with the work you do at Focus on the Family. And for those not familiar with your position there and what it is you do, if you'd fill in our listener.
I have the wonderful privilege of serving as the director for foster care and adoption at Focus on the Family. And that through that work, I'm able to speak to all of our constituents across the United States about kids who are in the foster care system, how they come into the system, about the families who care for them, about the great need for more families to care for kids, about how important it is to be aware that abuse and neglect happens in all kinds of ways, and that God uses our hands and our eyes for us to be his instruments to make a difference in the life of a child and their birth family who is struggling and puts these children at risk.
Well, you touched on briefly on some things that we'll go into more depth on. But I do want to upfront, let me do this. For those that have questions about foster care or adoption and want to seek some insight from Focus on the Family, I'm going to throw out the 1-800 number. Is that appropriate?
Certainly.
Yeah, it's 1-800, the letter A, and then just spell out family. 1-800-A-FAMILY. And we'll give that number again before the end of our discussion today. But Dr. Ford, let's start with this, because there's so many of us that, you know, we've been excited to see the reversal of Roe versus Wade. We know with more life and these unplanned pregnancies, and I know there's other reasons for children to end up in foster care or adoption, just how important it is that, you know, a battle was won. The war hasn't been won. The battle has been won when it comes to abortion. The community that would have liked to have seen Roe versus Wade not be reversed has been somewhat critical or vocal about, well, you know, Christian community, you wanted life, but, you know, when life arrives, how prepared are you to support that in many different ways? Foster care and adoption being one of those. For those really not familiar with what families and children experience that enter, you know, either the adoption process or foster care system, can we paint that picture and give a better view of what that life is like?
Certainly. You know, I know that people think that every child who isn't aborted will end up in the foster care system. And can I tell you that that's not true? That when young women and the fathers of those children choose life, that there are pregnancy resource centers, there are churches who are willing to surround those young people and help them through the journey towards parenthood. And if for some reason they are not able or willing to parent after choosing life, there are private licensed child placement agencies who would gladly serve those young people and help them make a parenting plan for their child. Children who enter the foster care system are children who have been abused or neglected by their birth parents or another adult caregiver. And so it is the government's responsibility to provide safety for those children. And so they remove, through a court order, those children from those unsafe situations. You have to remember that our society sometimes can seem pretty dark out there, that there are families who are living in poverty but poverty shouldn't be a reason for a child to come into care. But it does happen every single day in jurisdictions all around the world. That there are parents who have succumbed to self-medicating. They might have mental health issues, and so they're using drugs and alcohol to self-medicate. There are also individuals who are dealing with their own anger issues, and when they're having an angry situation and they're out of control, children who are in harm's way, they become victims of that anger. And so there are children who are left unsupervised in unsafe situations. And so government steps in, and their sole job is to provide a safe environment for that child and to provide reunification, rehabilitation services to those bio families so that the children hopefully could be reunited with their families. But in the interim, having safe, loving, nurturing, caring households to place those children in, we call that family foster care. It takes, when we think of that saying, it takes a village to raise a child, it really does. When our family systems break down, the foster care system has an opportunity to step in and to step in and step up. And that means that we would need loving Christian families to step into the messiness of somebody else's life and care for their children and pray for that child or their siblings while mom and dad or another relative is getting the help that they need to work out the issues that brought them to the attention of child welfare.
You know, I want to thank you, actually, before we press on, because, yeah, as we opened up, you know, I went to the area, you know, of families that choose not to abort, choose life, abundant life, and, clarify that not all of those decisions for life end up with a child in foster care or adoptive process. And there are those that they come to find out that, you know what, having this child is a blessing and it's the beginning of a family, whether it's a single parent or both parents stay together. That is another scenario. And again, I want to thank you for bringing that up because, yeah, that happens maybe more often than many of us would imagine. But I want to go back to those the children that do end up, whether as infants or as they grow, there's the adoptive process and the foster care system. For those entering into the foster care system, how often is it that a child ends up in a long-term foster family where, you know, it's not every few weeks or months or maybe a little bit longer that they're, you know, packing up and heading into a different family unit?
You know, Steve, unfortunately, there are thousands of children who have lingered in the foster care system after they were removed from their bio family. You know, it would be great if the presenting issues that a family was dealing with could be resolved quickly and those children could be returned safely to their families. But it's not uncommon for a child to be in the foster care system 2.5 years, 5 years, 7 years. You say, well, what's going on? You have to remember that the court is now looking at the situation and reviewing it every 6 months. And the caseworker assigned is working with the birth family, working with the foster family, looking over it to make sure that child is safe. All the time, those reports are going to the court. And so if progress is not being made, the worker is presenting that information. The parents have attorneys. The children are represented by legal counsel as well in many states. And so all that information is going to a judge. And the judge has the hard, hard job of saying, okay, is it time? Have they made enough progress to send these children home? And if they haven't, I'm not going to risk that child's life, you know, being that child being further abused or neglected. When a family has mental health issues, those aren't righted overnight. Someone who has a drug addiction, getting in a drug rehab facility, particularly inpatient, where they can really work on their issues, that takes time and it also takes lots of money. And so, meanwhile, that child waits. The court continues to review the progress, and sometimes incremental progress is made. And so the court is weighing, is it in the child's best interest for me to let this child stay in care because the parent seems to be making some progress? Or should I stop this case and terminate parental rights? That's a hard, hard decision. And that weight is on the shoulders of that judge who's receiving information. When families are able to make progress, maybe they don't, maybe there's not abuse. I mean, maybe there's not a drug or alcohol issue, that it's a poverty issue. And so the family's able to get housing. They're able to get help and get a job where the child can safely return home. That's great. Sometimes that happens within 18 months and that child is returned home. And that's wonderful. But for those cases where that isn't the case, the court continues to oversee the supervision of that case, and child welfare continues to provide oversight as well. Tell you that today that there are some 390,000 children who are in the U.S. foster care system.
And there are so much more, and I know you know this, Dr. Ford, that they are so much more than a number. This is a person who's dealing with the foster care scenario, which many of us just can't even begin to fathom what that is like. What does that do, being in this system, to a child's psyche?
You know, our children coming in the foster care system, questions, what happened? How long am I going to be here? Where's my mommy? Where's my daddy? When are they going to come get me? I don't understand. Why do I have to leave my home? Why do I need to leave my friends? They're confused. They're hurt. They're angry. They're scared.
How often is the question, what did I do?
Every child I've ever spoken to has said, what did I do? You know, I didn't mean to cry. I didn't mean, I told my teacher, I told my friends, mommy, I wasn't trying to get my mom in trouble. We needed help. The guilt that children, they want to fix things. They want things to be right in their household. And so they always look inward about what did I do? What was my role in this? And
you know,
it's
so
important.
We've gotten to a part in our conversation where I have to imagine that there are people listening that want to wrap their arms around these kids and hug them. And they can do that in many different ways. And actually, what we're going to do, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Dr. Ford, can you stay with us?
I can. Thank you.
We'll come back and we'll let those listeners know what they can do to impact these children's lives and share the love of Christ. We're talking with Dr. Sharon Ford with Focus on the Family. And when we come back, we're going to let you know, I'm going to tease a little bit here, let you know about suitcase bundles and other ways that you can impact the life of a child that's waiting for adoption or is in the foster care system. We'll come back with more after this on ABQ Connect. We're visiting today with Dr. Sharon Ford with Focus on the Family. And Dr. Ford at Focus on the Family specializes in dealing with the adoption and foster care issues that families face. And I want to remind you, if this is an area where you have questions or you want to find out more, you can call Focus on the Family at 1-800-FAMILY. That's 1-800-A-FAMILY. family. We'll give that number again before we finish our conversation today. Well, Dr. Ford, we talked a little bit in our first segment about the foster care system and what families are dealing with. And we kind of closed out our last segment talking about what these children deal with. And part of what they deal with is, you know, moving from foster care home to foster care home. And, you know, like I said, some may be in one place for quite a long time, but there's those that move and move and move. As they gather the things that they're going to take with them, often it's in a big plastic bag, a garbage bag or a number of grocery bags there's just something about that just can't be that healthy for that child.
You know, Steve, you make a very interesting point, and I wish I could tell you that wasn't true. But one of the things that I know about child welfare, whether it's in the South, the North, the East, or the West, that there are caseworkers who are carrying in their trunks of their car, back seats of their car, trash bags, big black trash bags. Why? Because when they have to remove that child, they need something to put those children's things in. And so my own daughter, you know, we've all been in that, have worked in child welfare in our family. And that's common. But I can tell you that Focus on the Family has tried to step in and break that habit, that practice, by offering free, you heard me, free 30-inch duffel bags, a stuffed animal, stuffed teddy bear, an age-appropriate Bible, and a note, a handwritten note, to children who are in the foster care system, so that we actually have sought out churches to partner with us, not so that they have to pay us to get the suitcase, what we call our suitcase bundles. We want to partner with them so that they can be the hands and feet of Christ and deliver in their own community to children who are in the foster care system, to that local child welfare office, to take those suitcase bundles and gift it to those children, gift it to that young child, gift it to that foster parent who's caring for those children, gift it to those children who are young people who are about to exit the foster care system. They've turned 18. They're going to be cut loose and be on their own. And they need to have something stable, like a 30-inch duffel suitcase, duffel bag. A teddy bear. My almost 20-year-old grandson still loves his teddy bear, has it in his room right now. And an age-appropriate Bible with a handwritten note, with an encouragement. Our kids need hope. Doesn't matter the circumstances that they come from. Doesn't matter the circumstance that they're walking in today. They need hope for a future. And the gospel is that hope. And you know, the other hope is that there would be Christian families who would be there to welcome those children by being the foster parents, being those families who wrap around people who are fostering, and for those children who are available for adoption, that they would be adoptive families so that those children have hope and that they wait no more.
Oh, so much appreciate all that information. And listen, if you just tuned in, again, we're visiting with Dr. Sharon Ford with Focus on the Family. Dr. Ford, who is called to foster care or adoption?
Families of all hues of color, all sizes and shapes are called to be foster parents. And it all starts with prayer, asking God, how would you use my family, a family of one, a family of three, a family of five? How would you use my family to make a difference in the life of a vulnerable child in my community? And after hearing the Lord, you need more information. And we would love for them to go to our website, waitnomore.org, waitnomore.org. And on there is a button that says getting started about to learn more information about being a family foster home in your community for the children that are just a block away, kids who are going to school with your kids. kids who you might even see at your church and you didn't know that they were in foster care. How can you make a difference in the life of a child? And so we want people to first pray, and then second, to get information that will inform them about the process and about who these kids are and who they need to be connected with so that they can be a certified foster home in their community.
And for a time, I want to encourage the KLYT listener to go to klyt.fm. On our homepage, we'll have a banner there where you can get this information from Wait No More and find information about putting together these suitcase bundles, opportunity to bless these kids that are, you know, moving from home to home. The other thing I want to make sure the listener is aware of, tomorrow on ABQ Connect, Janae Heitzig from the Calvary Church staff, which, by, you know, for those that don't know, we're broadcasting from the Calvary Church campus on Osuna in Albuquerque. But tomorrow, Janae will be on the broadcast, and we'll talk more about the adoption process and foster care and really make sure we're providing details. I'm going to give it now for a foster and respite care interest meeting that's happening Sunday, August 4th, this Sunday at 1 o'clock at Calvary Church in Albuquerque on Osuna west of Jefferson, and really a chance to help make a difference in the life of New Mexico's children and families. Come on out and get information, inspiring meeting on foster and respite care. Again, that's this Sunday, August 4th at 1 p.m. in the Hub at Calvary Church. You know, whether you're considering fostering, offering respite care, or supporting the community in other ways, your involvement really can make a significant impact. And you know, we kind of touched on it a little bit, Dr. Ford, but, you know, some families are going to be called to move into foster care or move to adopt. And others that, you know, aren't called to do that, there's all kinds of wonderful ways that they can get involved and share the love of Christ. As we talked about, you know, you think about these kids and what they're going through, and you just want to hug them, an opportunity to either do that literally or with the actions that they do to support what's going on. What are other ways that families, you know, maybe not choosing to adopt or foster can be supportive of this community?
Well, Steve, you know, I say if you can cook, if you can clean, if you can wash dishes, if you work, you can make a difference in the life of a family who's fostering, because you're not only loving on that family, you're also loving on those children. Maybe you're good at math or science, or you love to read. Helping a child, we're about to go back to school. Helping a child with their homework is so critical. And children who have been delayed in their education because of abuse or neglect would love to have a tutor or mentor who is sitting there in the evening helping them do their homework. That foster parent can be busy cooking the, you know, the evening dinner, interacting with the other children while you're spending time with that child. That really speaks loudly to that child that somebody else cares for me. Helping the foster parent do their yard work. Here we are still having to cut the grass and everything, pull weeds. Boy, have that youth team, your youth ministry, come over and do that work. 'Cause why? That extra time that the foster parent now has from not doing that yard work allows them to have maybe date afternoon with their spouse, or they're able to spend more time with their kids who are their birth kids and the kids who are in foster care. Boy, if you're the singles group, hey, what about you coming over and do the laundry for that foster family? And that foster family, they can go out while you're doing the laundry. They can maybe have date day with their children, their birth children, and maybe you could watch the foster kids while they're having date time with their kids. Every little hour that you give makes a difference. You know, and for those good cooks out there, maybe you make wonderful soups or lasagnas. How about you making those bringing them over, and then the foster parent can freeze them so that they can have them on a night when they're running behind. They can just pull it out the freezer and dinner's already ready. What a blessing that is. And then for those who are prayer warriors out there, every foster family needs prayer. Every child in foster care needs prayer. Asking them, how can I pray for you? Getting a specific prayer request, that makes all the difference in the world, because you and I both know that prayer changes things. And these children need change in their lives. They need hope in their lives, and prayer will get them there.
Well, we've been visiting with Dr. Sharon Ford with Focus on the Family, and some of the resources that we gave, I want to give again before we end our time. WaitNoMore.org. It's a website set up by Focus on the Family where you can learn more about foster and adoptive questions that you may have. There's resources available on that website, and just find out more about what's happening at waitnomore.org. And it's very simple. There's a link right at the top of the page to get involved or to donate financially towards the work that's being done there. And then also remember, you can call Focus on the Family at 1-800, the letter A, family. Well, Dr. Ford, I don't want to cut you off. Let me throw it back to you before we put a bow on this. Is there anything else you want to communicate to the KLYT listener?
I so appreciate you having a heart to care for the things that are important to God. God said he sets the lonely in family. My question to you is, what has God called you and your family to do to make a difference in the life of the child, whether it's little or big? You're honoring God, and you're making a difference in that child. Give someone hope today.
Very good. Well, Dr. Ford, again, thank you so much for your time. We'll look forward to hearing from you again.
Thank you, Steve, for having me. Greatly appreciate you.
All right. And stay with us. The final portion of today's broadcast, we're going to introduce you to a teaching pastor that you will start hearing on KLYT starting tomorrow night at 8:30. Study the Word makes its debut on 88.3 FM in Albuquerque, 88.1 FM in Las Cruces, and at Cannon Air Force Base, 90.7 FM and 93.5 FM in Portales. We'll catch up with the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Lebanon, Pennsylvania, the teaching pastor on Study the Word, which you'll hear starting tomorrow night at 8:30 on 88.3 FM. We'll jump into a conversation with that pastor when we come back from the break. It's Tom Keller. We'll make that introduction next on ABQ Connect.